Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. Every week we catch up with our eyes and ears in the newsroom editor Kate Hines to get a handle on what the newsroom has covered, is covering, and will be covering in the future. Hi, Kate.
Hi, Allison. I like that I'm your eyes and ears. It makes me feel like your spy, which I totally would be.
Oh, you know, I've seen you. You've got eyes and ears everywhere. You know what's going on all the time. You're my go-to person. All right, so wait, news broke this morning that Bill de Blasio has made a big career decision.
Yes, he is, in fact, after ending months of speculation and saying he is not running for governor of New York, which kind of seemed apparent the longer it dragged out. But, you know, it seemed clear he never garnered the support that he needed. A new poll that recently came out about the governor's race in New York. The way reporters are describing Kathy Hochul's lead is by using the adjective commanding. So, in other words, it doesn't look like de Blasio is the candidate who is going to knock the sitting governor out of office, and he has come to realize that. So he released a video on Twitter this morning and said while he's not running for governor of New York, he is, quote, going to devote every fiber of my being to fight inequality in the state of New York. So we haven't heard the last of de Blasio.
Oh, did we think? I didn't think we would.
No, but, you know, now, but he didn't. He also didn't say what he was going to do next. It was more like stay tuned. So now we have more speculation about his next steps.
We will be talking about that in the future, I'm sure. Let's go to COVID testing in schools. All right. Of course, there was a lot of criticism that de Blasio's administration wasn't doing enough testing in schools to tamp down the spread of COVID. Now, WNYC is reporting on the latest data from the DOE, which has changed its approach to testing due to new protocols enacted by, guess this, the new administration. And the plan is called Stay Safe and Stay Open. That is catchy.
Okay, so you want to know how it differs from the previous approach?
That was my next question.
It's a little tricky. So under the de Blasio administration and before winter break, the Department of Education aimed to test at least 10% of unvaccinated kids who opted into testing. So that isn't a lot of students, and it led to the same groups of kids getting tested over and over again. New administration, you know, Omicron surge and winter break, during the winter break, they announced a new strategy. The DOE is going to double the amount of testing in school and include vaccinated students as well as unvaccinated. So the data that our data news reporter Jacqueline Walensky-Jeffrey got her hands on showed that, yes, in the first week of the new policy, more than 67,000 students got tested. That doesn't sound like a lot when you look at the public school population, which is about a million students, but it's a more than 70% increase over the last week before the break in December. So testing did increase, and it meant that in that week in January, 8% of public school students got a COVID test. Staff testing has increased as well, but, you know, there are a lot of caveats. Again, you have to opt into testing. They're not randomly testing students who did not sign the permission slip, and only about a third, you know, something like 36% of families have opted in. And there's a big amount of variation in terms of what schools test what kids. So for the 1,600 schools for which Gothamist WNYC got data, 260 of them had tested less than 5% of their student population, but some tested a fifth of their student population. So it's a little bit all over the map.
That will be another one that is to be continued. I sense a theme here.
There is a theme, and I just want to throw out one thing that I learned yesterday in editing our story on this. 11% of New York City public school students have tested positive for COVID since September of 2021. That kind of blew me away when I found that out.
Let's talk public safety. Of course, Mayor Adams ran his campaign on public safety, and this attack over the weekend, this horrible tragedy, it's really made people nervous. You know, what steps has he said he's taking to combat crime to make New Yorkers feel safe, especially in the wake of this recent incident?
Right. He, as you point out, he totally did run on public safety. And if you saw Saturday Night Live this weekend, you know how frequently he brings up that he is a former police officer. That was a key part of his identity as a candidate and how he introduced himself to voters. So even before this horrific incident over the weekend, He and New York Governor Hochul held a presser at a subway station in Brooklyn the first week of January to unveil a plan to add hundreds of more police officers to high-crime subway stations. You know, he has been really trying to battle the perception that the subways are not safe. And he's already been throwing police at the problem. But he's also trying to, you know, point out that the system is safe and not that many people get pushed in front of trains. Mm-hmm. And he is riding the subway himself and making a big point of demonstrating that he's riding the subway himself. He's also trying to be, he says he's trying to be proactive in terms of mental health outreach. But, you know, this is really problematic, especially since the murder on Saturday happened in Times Square, which is not a place that people think of as being underpoliced, either above ground or in the subway system. And a lot of criticism being leveled at the mayor right now are saying more police is not going to solve this problem. I believe there were two police on the platform when Michelle Goh was pushed in front of the train. So, you know, you can throw a lot of law enforcement at a problem, but that's not going to solve the problem. Meanwhile, the city's pilot program, which started under de Blasio and that aims to dispatch social workers on calls that involve emotionally disturbed people instead of sending police officers, is only in a few precincts and really has yet to seriously expand. So Adams has yet to really flesh out how he is going to handle mental health and expanding access to mental health in New York City, as well as expanding the affordable housing pool for a lot of people. And, you know, how policing is going to change in terms of, you know, the sheer volume of police or like the actual quality of policing.
Just a tangent side note pivot. Did you watch the Chris Redd Saturday Night Live impersonation?
I absolutely did.
I enjoyed it. I'm just going to say that.
I am going to point out that almost every reporter every actor that was playing a reporter in that scene seemed to be wearing a suit, which has not been my experience of the New York City press corps. But other than that, I thought it was fabulous.
And I'm glad Chris Redd is getting some love as well as Ariana DeBose. She was great. That line.
I know. It was really fun.
Really good. Yeah. Before we let you go, anything I need to know about birds?
Well, I wish you would go to Gothamist. Over the weekend, we dropped a story about ducks to watch out for. I've been threatening to write about this for a while, and I finally did. I sung the praises of winter birding in New York City and talked about where to go winter duck watching, because winter, of course, is hot duck season. But I just want to say this. I spent Sunday at Jamaica Bay in the freezing cold looking at snow geese on the West Pond, and it was a really centering moment. And I highly recommend snow geese. They're here for a short period of time. Beautiful white birds with black marks on their wings. There's a lot of different morphs, so there's a lot of different kind. It's really great.
I love when you always end us on that sort of meditative note. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
WNYC editor, Kate Hines. Thanks, Kate.
Thank you, Allison.